All right, everybody, welcome back in this Thursday on Mining Stock Daily. We are going to talk to a company. It's a little bit of a reintroduction to K2 Gold. They do trade on the venture with KTO and on the OTCQB with KTGDF. And the Mojave Project in California is in their books. We're also going to talk about Wells up in Yukon and also SI2 in Nevada. So happy to welcome in CEO Mr. Anthony Margaret. Anthony, welcome into Mining Stock Daily. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Trevor. Happy to be back. Yeah. We're happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the K2 Gold. I mean, listen, this market's funny. And especially when you have perceived jurisdictional risks like the state of California, a lot of people I think would say K2 was left good for dead, but here we are. Your project continues to be advanced. Maybe give us a general sense of the last year or two with K2 and kind of those trials, tribulations, and where you're at now.
Oh, great. Yeah, for sure. It's a good place to start. So I came into this role December 2021, right after I was actually on the project in California on the property for my first property visit. And we were notified by the BLM. We were in the process of an environmental assessment for our phase two drill program at Mojave. We had in 2020, we drilled it, had some of the best results in the Southwest US, I think. At that time, I think the highlight hole was about 86.9 meters of 4 grams per ton gold, all oxide from surface. We were about a year into the EA process at that point, and BLM let us know that they were elevating the permitting level to an EIS status. So it was a bit of a shock for us at the beginning. Took a little bit to kind of regroup and see what direction we were going to go. But we believe in the project. You know, the value there is potentially tremendous. So we persevered and pushed on, kind of went quiet, didn't really talk about it much. In the background, we were working on all the permitting process, getting the baseline surveys done. We're getting close to another milestone here with our draft EIS almost completed. That should be completed imminently in the next few weeks. And from that point forward, we're looking at potentially being through the process here sometime this summer. That'll give us what we're permitting right now is our phase two drill program. We're permitting 30 pads with an aim to define a resource, drill 4 holes off each pad, about 10,000 meters of drilling. And again, the goal to define a resource there, infill the previous drilling and expand a bit.
Yeah. Mojave's in the land of giants. I mean, gold mining in California, despite what people perceive it to be as far as risky, I mean, continues to produce gold. Mojave is within that incredible trend of gold mines as well. But give me a sense of this draft EIS. I mean, it takes some time to do this. And obviously, I mean, it is shocking to see this amount of administrative work just for a drill program, but here Absolutely. We are.
Yeah. And you know, we're starting to see this more and more wherever people are operating. So, it's more rigorous in California for sure, but going forward, permitting at this level will de-risk the program or the project significantly. Basically, we're completing the archaeological, biological, cultural surveys to clear the area going forward. And as it stands now, you know, things are moving forward in a positive direction. So the project lies within the Walker Lane trend. You know, it doesn't end at the Nevada-California border. It does stretch across to the west. There's been a tremendous amount of high-grade gold mined in California in the past, as we all know. And this project holds a lot of potential. I think Chris Taylor was recently interviewed, former CEO of Great Bear. Chris acts as an advisor to K2. He's the reason that we have the Mojave project in our portfolio. He was recently interviewed and chose it as one of his favorite projects, one of the best projects he ever set foot on, said it could potentially host multiple mines.
Yeah. So give us a sense of timeline here. Draft EIS, you're looking for that to be published here imminently, but there is a meeting and comment period, then into that final EIS and then a record of decision issued. It sounds like a lot, but what, you know, give us a timeline here.
Yeah. I don't want to put a firm timeline on it because there could be potentially hiccups along the way, or not hiccups, but just delays depending on as we go through the review process, if there's anything that needs further information. So I don't really want to put a timeline on it, but I think by June, we should have a pretty good idea of a timeline. And definitely 2024 to be through the process. So planning, you know, quietly planning a 2024 drill program.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something for us to work on. All right. I mean, this is, talk about managing your equity here through all this. I mean, you just got done raising a little over $1 million of financing so you can obviously continue the work. You know, it's, I'm sure it's been tough and not being able to actually do the real exploration work, although you did do some really cool surface work, had some nice copper samples. But you know, talk about managing that equity during this time as well. How difficult was that?
Yeah. You know, the market's been difficult as everybody knows. Obviously today it's great to see the price of gold hitting a new record all time high. But you know, we just have to be cognizant. I think we only have two full-time employees with K2. So we're a pretty tight ship. Raising money in the industry wide hasn't been easy. Thankfully, when we raised a few months back now, early this year, we're able to open and close relatively quickly. We have good support in the market. I think people believe in the project. And, you know, last year we raised to drill our SI2 project in Nevada. It's a very interesting project. We've got some pretty significant interest in it right now. I don't think we'll go back there. I guess we can talk about that in a little while, but we also drilled the Wells project in the Yukon last summer. So although Mojave's been not so active from an exploration standpoint, you know, the permitting process going on in the background, we have been actively exploring our other two projects in the portfolio. So had some pretty good success at the Wells project. Our team's got a lot of experience. You know, K2 is kind of the successor to Kaminak Gold, which was acquired by Goldcorp in 2016. For the coffee deposit. We know those rocks well. Eric Beitenheis, my VPX. Eric was project manager with Kaminak for a number of years and then continued on with Goldcorp. That's where I met Eric. I did some consulting to Kaminak and Goldcorp when Goldcorp first made the acquisition. And Jody Gibson's our chief geologist. You know, Jody has made a number of discoveries in the Yukon, was named Prospector of the Year a few years ago and responsible for a lot of the white gold discoveries. It's been difficult out there. It's, you know, you have to manage your money well. I'm heavily invested in this company too. So definitely want to make sure that we make it through every year and we're, you know, the money's going in the right direction. It's going to the ground.
Okay. Give us a sense of SI2 across the border from California into Nevada.
Yeah, so SI2 project, we acquired that from Origin shortly after I came in as CEO. We acquired it in January 2022. A month later in February, AngloGold Ashanti made the announcement of the Silicon discovery. Interesting fact there, part of the story, both of these projects were acquired, both Anglo's project, Silicon, and our SI2 project. We're both acquired from Origin Royalties. A couple of brilliant geologists at Origin came up with the concept to start looking for these preserved epithermal systems in the Walker Lane. No one had really been out there looking at these systems. They hadn't been proven in the market or commercially, but they had a great idea, started going out, exploring for them, using some proprietary methods, staked a couple. Anglo was the first company to option one. I believe we were the second, as far as I know. Very similar style of targets. We spent a year doing a lot of technical work on the ground, building up the drill targets. We put four holes into it last year around this time of year. We didn't have any, you know, screamer intercepts, but we did have almost about 300 meters of continuous gold mineralization. These systems are very structurally complex and very complex in general. Our goal with that first round of drilling was to A, prove that it was in fact an epithermal system and that it was gold bearing. We were able to do that on both accounts. The second hole of the program, that's where we have 300 meters of continuous gold mineralization. It's low grade, but it proves that the system was moving a broad swath of gold bearing fluid. Next step's going to be, you know, focusing in on where that gold was concentrated in higher grades. We had a lot, I don't think, you know, just strategically going forward, not going to try and finance it through capital markets. It's pretty high risk still. It's going to take 20 to 30 holes to figure this out. But we are actively looking at non-dilutive options to continue financing and funding and developing the project going forward.
Specifically just for SI2?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Well, I mean, it's been a very active area. Anglo-Gold Ashanti just put a massive resource on that area around Beatty.
This style, that preserved epithermal system style of targets drawn a lot of attention. It really shook the exploration world up, I think, when it was initially announced, and as it continues to grow and get larger and larger, it's very interesting. You know, a lot of people walked across that project or that property outside of Beatty, Nevada for many, many, many years and didn't recognize it. So it's great to see that, you know, as time continues, that fertile jurisdictions that may not have had a discovery up to this point continue to produce. So great to see that.
Anthony, talk to me about kind of list of priorities here as Mojave continues to be in this EIS permitting framework. You just mentioned SI2 needing to find the creative ways to finance further work, the work that is needed on that. And obviously wells can be opened up here this summer. You know, how are you prioritizing these three projects as we move into the summer?
Yeah, great. So we're going to do a little bit of work at the wells. We did a charity flow through financing last year. We've got some money left over there that we're going to spend this year. We won't be drilling it, but we're going to start to generate targets out on the west side of the property to continue expanding the mineralization footprint. From what we know of the property right now, we've really only explored about 30% of the property, focused in on areas where we had pre-existing sample data and some really good geophysics. The geophysics, we were able to prove that it's working last year with our drill program. Plan right now for this summer is to go out to the west side of the property. There's never been any sampling there. We're going to do some surface sampling. The geophysics looks like, is pointing in the direction to the west that the system continues on that way. So we'll try and prove it up on with some groundwork first and aim to plan for a drill program in the future. Our big focus right now is getting Mojave online, and that is that's kind of the laser focus right now. So get through this, keep our spend as tight as possible right now, and get ready to plan for that drill program.
Massive catalyst for the project.
Yeah, like it really is a game changer for the company. Getting that permit and this next phase of drilling underway. You know, we've worked with two independent resource geos to plan this next phase of drilling. I really, really firmly believe that we will succeed in putting out a pretty significant resource there.
Yeah. You know, Anthony, we've talked a lot about risk rewards in this market right now. I mean, the market has just been absolutely brutal, but it's also presenting a ton of opportunities. In fact, I would put K2 here as far as the risk reward, given where that market cap currently sits and that catalyst of finally getting that permit could be pretty meaningful here. I mean, what is your investment kind of your investment pitch for people, given the situation that you're in right now?
Well, I'm confident that we'll get the permit. I feel very confident that we'll get the permit. So if that isn't the issue, I think it's really going to be, it's been a long process. But like I said, this getting through this phase of the permitting really de-risks the project going forward. So once we get through this phase with the EIS, any further development on or work on the project, a matter of amending the current EIS that we're working on. Like say, for instance, in 20 years from now, there was a mine being built there. It would be built under this EIS after many, many, many amendments to it. So that's where the de-risking part of it comes into play. I think we've proven the mineralization exists. It's a matter of getting in there and drilling it off.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Anthony, thanks so much for your time. It's nice to catch up and be resurrected, I guess, in due course time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Trevor. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. All right, that's your reintroduction, everybody, to K2 Gold. Again, trading on the venture with KTO and on the OTCQB with KTGDF.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice.
Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.